What are you laughing about?
Nothing. Go ahead. I'll let you start.
Rick goes, okay, give me 5 seconds. I'm looking at the clock to give him 5 seconds. And then I look up and you're like this. You're just like.
No, because I'm waiting to see how you're going to start this episode. I have a lot.
I'm going to start off by saying you look very beautiful. Good morning.
Good morning.
You look very nice.
Thank you.
New dress.
I don't look fat.
What's going on?
Y'all, this morning I had on this dress and it was a little too billowy. I felt like it just made me look big. So I said, you know what? I have an actual belly now. Let me put on a little fitted dress that shows my baby bump. I change and you go, oh,
no,
you're going to wear that? And I said, well, yeah, I thought the other one just was loose and made me look big and fat. I said, and this one's a little more fitted. You go, well, that one makes you look fat.
No, you no.
You call me fat, so then I change back into the first dress.
Okay, two things.
You never call your pregnant wife fat. That's understood, a given.
No. You're being unfair because
you didn't call me fat. You had the dress out.
You had the dress out. I saw the dress and I go, oh, okay, she's gonna wear that because you had it all out. Yes. And you have a bad habit of 3 or 4 costume changes.
No, that is so not true.
So not true. You come out.
I'm pregnant. I don't know what's going to fit that morning.
No, you come out with that. And I go, okay. Is that? Oh, by the way. And then I'm the tire. I'm always the tie this. Tie, right? So I tie it for you. I go do something with Garrett. I come back and you're in like a mini skirt.
It was not a mini skirt. It was a dress that was fitted with ruching on the side, like made to show off the baby.
And then you go. I go, where's the dress? I go, I thought you were wearing the dress. You go, well, the dress made me look fat. And I was like, no, that one makes you look like a sausage in casing. You look like a sausage. No, but I didn't mean.
So I changed back to dress number one.
Which, by the way, I went on the road and you were not pregnant looking. And then I come back 4 days later and
you just edited yourself. You were gonna say
chubby.
I went on the road and you were just a little fat.
Yeah, just a little chubby girl. But I came back and now you're this beautiful pregnant woman.
Oh, who looked like sausage encasing in the dress.
Yes, sausage encasing in the dress. But it was weird for me to go, just 4 days in the span of 4 days to come back and you're definitely preggers.
No.
But I totally.
You're just lucky I wasn't hormonal this morning because last week you would have called me fat and I would have been like, ah,
no,
fat.
I will definitely say before we had the miscarriage and I was telling people that we were preggers, you were mad at me. You're like, don't tell people I were pregnant. And then I realized that pregnant, pregnant, when women get pregnant, they like, when they're
Please
in a group.
Please tell me what pregnant women
And they're
want.
Like, hey, yes, go ahead. Would you like to have a beer or a drink or a glass of wine? Oh, no, I'm not drinking right now. Like, they like to do, like, and then the other way, oh, my God, you're pregnant! And you're like, I am, you noticed. Like, that's what I realized that it's
well,
all about.
Well, there's none of that this time around.
Because now you're walking around with your hands on your belly, like, accentuating. Like, you're, like, showing off the...
No, now I'm, like, holding it up because it already hurts.
Well, that too. Like, it's all dramatic when she's, like, holding her belly and people are like, oh, my God, it's come here. Let me touch
Okay, you're
it.
Making it worse. Right? You were just, like, digging your hole deeper.
That's okay. But, we were supposed to welcome people...
Yes,
to the
I
show.
Did want to say welcome because there's like people listening and watching and tuning in every week.
So welcome.
And we're grateful and they're sharing it and...
And you look nice.
Thank you.
You look very pretty.
Thank
you always
you.
Look very pretty.
You look great in your tank top. You chose a tank top with a paint stain on it this morning.
I work.
You have tank tops that don't have paint stains on
Who
them.
Cares?
I just now realized you have paint
cares?
On your shirt.
I wear the same crap week in
this morning
and week out.
In the car on the way here, Garrett goes, Dad, are you going to change? Are you going to put on something nice?
I said, no. But again, going back to raising our child, I want my son to know that clothes do not make a man. The
Understood.
Man inside makes a man.
Understood. Same
actions,
tank top, different episode.
Actions make a man. The way you hold yourself, the things that you do, you know, those are the things that make a man. Not because you're wearing Jordans are because you're wearing fancy clothes.
No, it's not about the clothes. That. I just want the kid. I want the kid to know that like sometimes he has to put on proper clothes.
By the way, on the way here, we had a plan. We were like, okay, we're going to talk about this.
We do. We're going to talk
about that.
Yes,
and
I'm
then,
sorry.
And then all of a sudden...
The stain on your tank top was distracting.
It's not a stain. It's character. Which, by the way, I used to wear, like, you know, Renee's always got me painting a wall or doing this or doing that or spackling or something, right? So I wear the same clothes that I would wear normally. So when I lived in L.A., I remember I had these shorts or these jeans that had paint all over them.
Yeah.
And then these L.A. douchebags would be like, dude, where'd you get that shirt? It's so cool with the paint on it. And I'm like, I work. I don't buy it to make it look like I work, like you idiots. I actually work like a man. But they would be like, oh, man, those shorts are so cool. The way they have paint stains on them. I'm like, yeah, dude, it's real.
They were so nasty, those shorts.
They had a hole in the sack. Yeah, but it was cool. It was if I didn't open my legs, you couldn't see it. But then, like,
but you usually sit with your legs wide
open. I got big balls.
Away from your balls and back to thanking people, please.
Yes. No, we're so happy you're watching, and we're supposed to get on the episode and go, hey, welcome to the show. We're glad you're watching. We still have no sponsors.
Maybe if we get some, Steve will buy a new tank top.
No. I need a tank top sponsor. That's what I need. I need a tank top sponsor. Muscle shirt sponsor. Which, by the way, even if I take off my shirt, you still see the tank top.
The tan?
But it just looks like I'm... Because I'm fat, it looks like I have a sports bra on. Like, just like... Anyway. But
thank you guys for watching and sharing. A lot of people are sharing. Their couples are watching it. They're telling their other couple friends about it.
It's trippy, man. Like, it's, you know, we read the comments and we try to, at least. And lately on
at night when we're laying in bed, we like go through and read them. We don't always chime in, but we.
Well, and you know, now on the road, you know, I don't do meet and greet after the show's off, which, by the way, so see this new hat I got?
It is a cool hat.
It is a very cool hat.
It's clean. Thank God.
For now. But I'm really excited about it because we were in Vegas several times ago, and I'm a rodeo fan, and I especially a Lane Frost fan. You know, I love 8 Seconds, the movie, yeah. And I see this guy's hat, and I'm like, man, that's a really cool hat, you know, because it has like the buckle, mm-hmm. right? And last week in Dallas, I'm playing the Addison Improv, and I'm on stage. And I announce that I'm not going to do a meet and greet. And this guy walks up with a bag and this hat. And I pulled it out. And normally, like, sometimes people give me stuff. And I feel so bad because I don't like it. And I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to wear it. You know, that usually...
You mean like when you give me a gift?
Wow. Wow. So what you're saying is no more gifts. I don't give you any more gifts. That's fine. I like where we're at.
I take gift cards.
So sometimes I don't like what somebody gives me, you know, and that ends up with Timmy, my road manager, right? But this hat, I was like, oh, man, thank you. Like, this is awesome. I love the hat. And then I just felt so horrible that I couldn't meet him, you know, because we're trying to be, you know, socially responsible and we're not doing meet and greet, and we're not having people in the green room. So to the person who gave me this hat, thank you so much. I'm grateful that you
I thank you as well, so. Because the one he'd been wearing every week reeked so bad, it stunk.
Oh, I know. Well, with the move, man, with the move, it had the, you know, the Aggie hat ended up with all the sweat marks, and, you know, so, you know, I'm glad that...
You were long overdue for a cool new hat.
I'm glad I got this hat, so thank you so much for the hat. And by the way, so we love when fans, you know, bring us stuff. You know, a lot of times people bring me a bottle of Crown Royal or whatever, and we really try very hard to read all the comments.
Yeah, we do.
You know, sometimes I read them and then they're like dumb or something, and I'm like, if they're negative, and sometimes they're so negative that I don't even feel the need to.
Well, there was one on YouTube that was like, because the laundry bit came out, right? And right. So he said, wait a minute, Steve pays all the bills and, I don't know if it was a he or she, it was just the letter
probably
J.
Probably a he.
But he goes, wait a minute, Steve pays all the bills and he still has to do half the laundry? And I was I like this guy.
I like this guy.
No, I was like, hold up. I said, for the record, when I met Steve, he did not even have a debit card. No debit card, no bank account, nada. Your jeans with paint on them. Your shorts with paint on them.
No, I didn't have paint on them until I met you.
Because then I'd make you paint it.
But even though I didn't have a bank account, I still took care of business.
Yes, no, I wasn't saying that. But my point was that we are totally a team. And
absolutely.
That it takes both of us and that I work for the company too. So that means I help pay the bills too.
Absolutely.
But I still do the laundry.
Well, I did the laundry this when I.
Oh, you did. You did yes. This morning. Fair enough.
But I think it's funny that, and I didn't know that you had done this. We're driving over here, and you go, "Oh, I had to comment. I had to let him know." Right. So you ended up.
I commented back on that one, and he was really sweet about it. And other women chimed in, and they were like, "Yeah, you know, it's a team. It's a husband-wife team."
Definitely a team. You know, which will lead to another topic.
Oh, but that one comment on your page. So here I thought that like this comment got a lot of traction, but you had a comment on your page and people went off the rails. I hadn't seen it until like the whole thing had happened. So I didn't chime in on that one.
Well, but I felt on that one that I did have to respond, you know, because she was like, oh my God. And I like Steve's stand up. However, you know, he talks to his wife so ugly and, you know, he called her an a-hole. And he called her a whore.
She put it in quotes. And like, no.
A whore that likes money. Like, I'm clearly kidding. I'm
clearly laughing. I felt like, come on. Like, it makes me laugh too. I think it's so funny.
You're clearly not superficial.
Or maybe I am.
No, but you met me. I look like this.
Yeah.
I had no money when we met. You know, you do like money. I'm not saying you don't like money. You do like money. But I look like this. So I forget. Maybe you should pull up the comment.
Yeah. I don't have it. I tried to send it to myself. I couldn't get it.
But so basically this woman was like, oh my God. And you know.
Well, no, I felt bad because she said, she's like, I love your comedy. I love your stand-up. She was a stand-up fan. And then once she watched the podcast, she felt like you basically just shit on me the whole time.
No, what people don't understand is, and I on that one, I felt the need to respond and let her know, like, first of all, to his and her, their own.
Yeah.
Right? Your relationship is your relationship. Well, in my relationship with my wife, we like to joke around.
I call you a shit for brains.
Wow. not normally, but today, thank you. But we like to make each other laugh. We like to, there's nothing funnier than, that we enjoy is being like, you'll set me up and then I say something quickly and we find that.
It entertains us.
It entertains us and we enjoy it and we bring that. We bring our real life the way that we are. We're not just like that on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, we don't get on the podcast and be like, all right, let's turn it on. Right? No, we're like that in real life. I mean, which, by the way, that's where a lot of jokes get written because of something that I said back to you or vice versa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and then, so I comment that, and then all of a sudden, like, 39 comments later.
Yeah, it's still going.
It's still going. And I hope, I don't want to say her name because I don't want to call her out.
Yeah.
And everybody has the right to their opinion.
But look, no, the bottom line is if I'm perfectly capable of defending myself. And sometimes I think people feel the need to defend me, but I'm quite capable of defending myself and calling you out on your BS. I have no problem doing that.
No, and I think people know that about it. Well, and you are, you know, I'm lucky to find somebody like you who you have thick skin. And I don't think I've ever said anything to you that makes you go, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, no, you make me cringe a lot, but it's usually because you say something filthy and disgusting, not something that you said to me.
But I enjoy that. And you kind of enjoy that. And it's what makes us us. Which, by the way, when we meet new people, uh-huh. and then I say, or they say something in front of you, uh-huh. right? Like, we'll meet a couple. And
oh,
then,
and when people and then, will apologize because yeah. they dropped, like, a curse word
some
or something?
Some people are like, oh, fuck. Like, oh, ma'am, I'm sorry. Oh, my God, I apologize.
You must not know my husband.
Yeah, like, you don't understand how our sense of humor works. But I just found it very interesting how people came and chimed in, and it turned into this, like, back and forth. Then my favorite comment was like, this is how you Karen. This is definitely...
I'm not a Karen. That's a Karen.
That's a... Well, and that's the thing, too, is that's where we've gotten in this world where... You know, and by the way, I love constructive criticism. I grow from it. I learn from it. I think I've become a better comedian over the years, you know. Yeah. I remember years ago, my whole thing, you know, and I was young, but, oh, man, I had to have, oh, I want my bottle of Crown on stage, and I'm going to be pouring myself drinks on stage. And I remember early on, Mr. Chastain, Casey's dad, who's passed now,
yeah.
I remember him pulling me aside and going, that doesn't look professional. He goes, and you were very funny in the beginning of the show, and by the end of the show, it was clear that you were drunk.
Oh, wow.
You know, and he goes, you weren't as sharp. You weren't as good. And I remember as the years went on, me going, oh, yeah, that isn't professional. And it doesn't look good. And now, as you know, I won't have a drink on stage.
Yeah.
You know, I take my water on stage. And now, second show, sometimes at the end of my show, because I'm going to start having drinks after my show, I'll have a drink. Second show.
Catch up with the rest of us.
Yeah, catch up. Well, yeah, everybody's backstage. But, you know, I do like constructive criticism. You know, we had the woman the other day, several episodes ago, that said, hey, you know, I love you guys, and you guys are so great, and I love the conversation. Can we stop with the F-bombs?
Yeah. And we're trying to reel it in, but old habits are hard to break.
I know. Again, the way Miss Dora talks, right?
Yeah.
So we do like reading the comments, and we do like the constructive criticism. And sometimes we have a hard time finding things to talk about. So we do like the, hey, can you guys talk about this?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that? Can you do this?
Yeah.
You know, so I wanted to talk about my weekend in Dallas because I thought that was an interesting week. And then we should take one of the questions.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So we got a couple good ones.
Dallas was awesome. I got this hat, this really cool hat. And then Thursday show was great, but it has been weird, right? With the Rona, it has been weird, but the shows have been great. And I think people definitely, you can tell that they're enjoying coming out and having a laugh.
Yeah.
You know, and they're I feel like the laughs are harder.
To get the laughs, to earn the laughs?
No. Like, they're laughing harder.
Oh, gotcha.
They're having more fun, right? They're into it.
It's a hearty laugh. People are, like, ready for the release.
Yeah, because you haven't laughed in forever. So Thursday went great, and then Friday was great, and then Saturday rolls around, and my friend Todd Stewart, our friend Todd Stewart, shows up from Randy Rogers' band, and they come and say hi, and then... First show goes fine, and then all of a sudden, literally 10 minutes before we're about to start the show, for the second show, lights go out, electricity goes out, and all that's left are like the security lights.
And it was like 100 and something degrees that day too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 98 degrees at night.
Oh.
So now there's no AC, and no music, and the only lights that are on are like the emergency lights. We have no microphone. They finally find a megaphone. So Sean comes back.
Like a cheerleader megaphone?
No, like a police officer.
Oh, please. I'm like envisioning a cheerleader megaphone. I was like, what the heck?
Give me an hey! Hey! Right, I'm out there with my pom-poms. All right.
Which would have been funny.
That would have been funny. So Sean's like, you know, the manager, the GM's freaking out. And he's coming back. So what do we do? And I don't know what to do. And I don't think this is, you know, going to get fixed anytime soon. And I look outside, the whole block is out. The hotel's out. Everything is dark.
Yeah.
No street lights. And I'm like, I go, let's push the show 15 minutes and see what happens. But now people are fanning themselves, you know, and oh, then the computers aren't working, so the staff is like, well, how do we serve drinks?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I was just thinking about you on stage.
We can't ring up drinks.
Or even run cards.
Or run credit cards. What do we do? So I make an announcement with the megaphone, the cheerleader megaphone. And I basically go, look, first of all, everybody's getting their money back. That's the first thing I said. Everybody's getting their money back. However, if you want to stay, we're going to start the show 20 minutes late. Hopefully the sound comes back. But
it's also going to be hotter.
I go, yes. And I go, but even then, even if you want to stay, we're still giving you your money back. If you want to leave, we're giving you your money back. If you want to stay, no matter at this point, you can have your money back. Because you know how I am. I care so much for the people that come out to my shows.
Well, they got babysitters. Like, yes. You know, some of them got babysitters, which they're going to have to pay regardless. Yes. Like,
so your money, I don't ever want anybody to have a bad experience at my show. I want people to get dressed up with their wives, with their husbands, come out to my show, and enjoy their night out.
Oh, the people that show, they're going to be like, screw 2020. Like, I just wanted to
go. Well, that's how I was feeling. I'm like, is there anything else that can go wrong? Really, you know what I mean? I'm like, really? So then 20 minutes has gone by. It's hotter in the room. I would say 10 to 15 people left.
Yeah.
So then the next announcement I make is, all right, here's your options now. Because you can still see with the emergency lights.
Yeah.
We can do a show, no microphone. You're still getting your money back. But we can do it without a microphone. And then everybody started cheering, like, no, we're like,
give us a show.
Give us a show. Yeah. So Big Al Gonzalez goes on stage, you know, the opening act, total professional, no microphone. And I'm like, oh, good, they're laughing. Like, that's the best thing about having an opener, right? I'm like, oh, man.
Test the waters.
Yeah. Let's see how he does. Because I hope it works for him.
Oh, poor Al.
So Big Al Gonzalez gets on stage, and he does great, right? At first, I'm like, okay, if I'm going to have to get him off or whatever. So then I go on stage, and I
still start, no electricity.
Still no electricity.
Do you even hold a mic?
Well, like, I was debating that.
That's so weird, right? You're so used to performing holding a mic. I was like,
hold a microphone? What do? I just turned it into like a one-man show. Like I went no micless. Right, and then in my head I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have to be over exaggerated with my act outs. I'm gonna have to be bigger,
so people,
you know,
get it.
I'm gonna have to be louder. I mean, I can hear myself losing my voice. I mean, I'm pushing so hard, I'm sweating so bad. I mean, my shirt is completely soaked. I end up having to unbutton my shirt because it was stuck to me.
Oh, gross! And
so now Daddy's chest is hanging out. Right. Daddy's chest is hanging out.
You're regretting your decision not to wear a tank top.
Yes. 30 minutes into it, it's like, everything comes back on. The microphone comes back on. The AC kicks in. And we end up finishing the show. But I thought to myself, at the end of the show, I go, keep in mind, you can have all your money back.
Yeah.
All of it. And the crowd was like, no, we loved it. And they like all cheered.
That was cool. Those were other comments I saw too. Is like people said I was at that show.
Well, that's
and
what
we
I was
had such
say.
A great time, and we're so glad we stayed, and we laughed so hard. So it seemed like the vibe in the showroom was still really great.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Like I feel like, you know, you're the one at that show. That was something special that happened to you, right? As an audience member. You know, I feel like I remember.
Well, I'm just thinking of all the poor girls who got dressed up to go out. They haven't been out because of the Rona. Now they're just like drenched.
It was
sweat.
Hot. But then I remember when I did Sturgis a million years ago, and I opened for Steve Perry from Journey, and a thunderstorm rolled through, right? And Steve Perry's backstage, and I'm supposed to bring him up, and they're like, "What do you want to do?" And blah blah blah. And the promoters are like, well, if you don't perform your 45 minutes, you're not getting paid. And he's like, well, but it's raining.
Yeah.
It's raining, right? So he was like, well, screw you, I'm going on. So he ends up going on stage, and there's probably 100 people in the rain watching Steve Perry play. And I'll never forget that experience.
Yeah.
Right? And it was just a special show to me. So I'm hoping that kind of that show...
was that for those people.
Is that for those people where they go, oh, you know, not only did the lights go out and it's 2020 and it's freaking hot and Steve went on stage and I tried to give him the very best show...
I'm sure you did.
...that I could give him without a microphone.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, it was working. I was still doing well. And it was really cool to have, you know, Todd Stewart there, who's also a performer, and him going, oh, man, he's like, I can't tell you how many times in the Randy Rogers band where we end up in a situation...
stuff happens.
...where it's either it's raining or something happens, and you got to be a pro.
Yeah.
You got to be a professional, and you got to do the show, and you got to make it happen, and you got to make sure that people are happy.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, Addison was a very good, interesting experience.
I was surprised that not more people were like, peace out, dude. I mean, that heat.
I felt bad because Josh, you know, my high school friend Josh, you know, he left. And I get a text message from him after the show. And he was like, I'm sorry, man. I had a babysitter and we just weren't going to deal with it. We left.
Yeah.
You know, and he's such a good, great supporter of us.
Yeah.
So it bummed me out that he, you know, he planned this night out.
And it didn't work out.
And it didn't work out for him. So it's kind of a bummer. So then after that, I end up in Tampa.
On your beach vacation, while I'm unpacking our new house. Go ahead. Tell everybody.
Tell them how you had
so much fun jet skiing, fishing, hanging out in a pool, on the golf.
Why does that bother you?
Huh?
Which, by the way, I found it so funny. So funny that several comments. right? I take a picture. I do the leg show. I take a photograph and I do some videos on my story.
Of you having a blast I'm surrounded by boxes.
And several people were like, oh, buddy, get ready. You're in trouble. And several women, oh, you're jet skiing without Captain Evil? Here it comes. And it's amazing to me. And I love that topic. Because I would like to ask you.
No, you know what it was? This is what it was. It was like the culmination of things, okay? First, I'm left in like this mess of boxes. You tried to move us in as
much as you could. Whoa. Mess of boxes?
Yes.
There's not one. I did not leave with one box full.
You have not unpacked one box.
Okay,
you have
first
movers
of all,
get in the furniture.
First of, no.
You don't know where any of your stuff is because I've unpacked it all for you.
I didn't move everything. Did I not move half the stuff in without the movers because we got moved in a day early?
Yes.
Me and Timmy?
Yes.
And Big Al?
But as far as physically opening up a box and organizing something and putting it away.
Hold up,
you don't know
Comey.
Where anything is.
We've only been in that house a week, and everything is hung on the walls. The garage is completely organized. The gym is completely set up.
The gym is set up, yes.
The garage got cleaned. All the boxes got moved in. I helped unload. Dude.
Okay, my point.
Did I not do the very best I could, working 8 hours a day?
You did.
At home to make sure that I left you.
You did.
In a great situation.
There was still a lot that needed to be done. And God bless your mama. She
Mrs.
came
Dora
and
was there.
She
okay.
helped me so unpack
now, so
everything.
Now.
Yes.
Continue. Oh, by the way. Oh, my God.
Well, you just told me continue.
No. Let me get in to defend myself. Not only did I move us in and put everything where it's supposed to be and put together Garrett's bed and hang photographs.
No, Timmy put together Garrett's bed.
That's part of me.
Wait. Road manager Tim, who comes and helps, if he helps, then it's like you did it too?
Oh, well, you're acting, Miss Dora helped you unload boxes.
I give Miss Dora credit.
I don't say credit.
I unpack the boxes. Okay. I say thank goodness for Miss Dora.
Not only do I do that, I also trim trees and cleaned up the trees.
Okay, right. So we agree that outside jobs are your job.
Yes,
right?
So I don't have to clean trees now, but I bust my ass to go ahead and clean trees.
to leave all of them on the curb in our new subdivision, which has a fancy schmancy HOA, right?
Which, by the way,
and no one
we found out that the president of the HOA lives across the street.
Which I'm glad I didn't know that before. Otherwise, I would have
moved
mortified.
In. Fuck that guy.
We've got trash piled. You're the trash man, and we've got trash piled up on the curb. All these branches, and I can find no one to come pick them up.
No. That's not fair. That's not fair.
You
because
leave town, and I'm no. calling all of these places to try and come
you're
pick up our trash.
You're leaving out details. You're leaving out details. Did we not have somebody that was coming to pick them up?
I arranged for someone to come pick them up, and they flaked twice.
Okay, this is how I knew I was in trouble. Okay, it's Saturday. And by the way, so we stayed at my friend Troy and Carrie's house.
It's Saturday, and you can't take my call because you're on a boat. You're
I'm on a jet ski.
You're too busy to answer the phone
I'm on
because
a jet
you're
ski.
On a boat.
I'm on a Yamaha jet ski. No, so we had already scheduled somebody to come and pick up the trees and the trash.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I said, look, just pay. Just pay, call them, get it scheduled, and just...
So we're not those neighbors.
Right. We don't want to be those neighbors. Yeah. Have somebody come and take it, right? So he was scheduled. So then he flaked.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you called him out. And then he said, I'm going to come back the next day.
And he...
He flaked again.
Yep.
So now you're calling me. Like, I can't control that this guy flaked. But I knew I was in trouble because...
Because trash is your department.
No. So I call you and you're like, stop. I'm waiting on a refrigerator. I'm waiting on a refrigerator, and what am I going to do with all this trash? What do you want me to do? And I'm like, dude, I'm...
Just like that. Yes. I sound just like that.
I'm in Florida. Like, what do you want?
On a jet ski, in a swimming pool, okay. Chilling on a boat.
So let's get into that.
Yes.
What do you want me to do?
What do I want you to do? Listen, I wish...
You have a hater mentality.
No, I do not have a hater mentality.
That is a hater mentality.
I wish you, instead of just chopping the branches and being like, my wife will figure it out and get someone to come pick this
up. Whoa.
I wish you had planned a little
bit
better.
Before I left, didn't we just talk about the fact that we had a guy scheduled?
You have a trailer. You could have hauled the brush off by yourself for $20. Dumped it for $20.
Now,
and then, no, this is why I'm really upset, okay? Let's be honest. This is why I'm really upset.
You sound like a crazy person.
No, because...
It was booked.
Well, for some reason, dealing with something, I had to get in your email for something. We have each other's email passwords. That's not like a big deal. We work together. We're in each other. I'm in your email inbox all the time. So I'm in your email inbox.
Yeah, so all you side bitches. All you side bitches. Don't be...
Anyway, I'm in your email, right? I'm already in
your... Oh, she's going to send a comment. Oh, my God. Steve Trevino has side bitches. And he said it in front of her.
But I get I see an email that says, rate your stay at Windstar Casino. And I am like, that asshole.
No.
When did he have time to go to a casino?
Let's go back to Tampa.
We're moving and exhausted. No, let me finish. So turns out...
Let's go. We're not done with Tampa.
You didn't mention it, but when you were in Dallas, you just decided to take a little getaway and go to a casino overnight with some of the guys.
We're going to get to that.
And gamble. But then I have a Barstool budget, you guys. The seats that we sit on a daily basis, when all your family comes to stay, we
let's
need
go back
extra
to Tampa.
Barstools. But I have a very tight budget for those barstools.
Let's go back
but
to
Mr.
Tampa.
Mr. Trevino's at Windstar Casino playing crap.
Yes. Well, we'll get into that in a minute. Let's go back to Tampa.
Okay, let's go back.
So, and I think a lot of men deal with this. I shouldn't say men. A lot of people who travel deal with this. And I've told you a million times that I don't hide things from you. I'm honest. I'm open.
You don't.
There's
which is
a
so
lot
weird.
Of people.
Why did you just go to? Why did you not tell me? Like, hey, the guys are gonna go to a casino. I wouldn't have cared.
We're not at the casino. We're at Tampa.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people who travel for a living deal with this when their spouse is at home. You know, Ponch and Kiki deal with it, right? Where Ponch travels for a living, that's what he does.
Yeah.
He has to travel. And because of his business, he stays in amazing places, you know, because he does all those conferences and he deals with with millionaires, there, you know. So then all of a sudden, he's at this nice hotel. What is he supposed to do?
I don't care that you're having fun, but when I call because I'm trying to take care of something, answer the frickin' phone. Like, it's really simple.
I'm on a jet ski in the St.
Was
Pete
your
Bay.
Phone on your person? I know you.
Let me
your
ask you this.
Was on
yes,
your body.
Let me ask you this. Yes. Well, by the way, I did tell you I was going out. Did I not?
You did, yes.
I go, I'm going to be out on the water.
Yeah.
I go, let me check in. I go, before I get out on the water, I'm checking in to say hello, to let you know that...
Because
that
4 hours later, you can't answer your phone when you're
Daddy's
going to
be
fishing.
In his bikini out on the water. Okay? So, no. So, my thing is, what am I supposed to do?
Answer the phone.
Okay, and if I answer the phone, what am I doing now?
Because I had options for ways we could handle the problem moving forward.
Are you a grown-up?
And the trash is your job, right? And outside is your job.
Are you a grown-up?
So I want to know how you want to... Of course I'm a grown-up. What do you mean am I a grown-up?
Can you handle it? Can you take care of it? Or Steve's having fun. How fucking dare he? I'm going to go and call him and give him hell.
Well, no, I don't really want to give you hell until I saw the email about rate your stay at Windstar Casino, and then I was really pissed.
What do you mean you didn't want to give me hell? You like I could hear, like, Renee has a tone. My wife has a tone, and it's a must-be-nice tone. It's a, Sal, which, by the way, I was so happy.
It is a must-be-nice tone.
Yes.
Because it must be nice to be on a boat while I'm unpacking the boxes. And then
okay, hold on.
Then
but
you come
it, but
home.
It must be nice to be with your child when I'm not with my child.
It is. It is
right.
Nice. But then you
and
come home and you're
nice.
Like, wait a minute, you didn't finish unpacking these boxes too?
There's no boxes to unpack.
Yes, there was. You're out of your
There's
mind.
There's zero boxes to unpack.
You were out of your
I'm
mind.
I'm going to do a video at the house to see how no, together
but when you were in Dallas and Tampa, your mom and I were unpacking boxes the whole time.
And did Timmy not stay behind in Dallas to help?
One day. We got Timmy for one day.
Okay. So.
Yes.
Let's go back to Tampa. Why are you mad? Okay, first of all, I told Renee, me and Renee always talk about travel. And we always go, you know, and obviously things have changed, mm-hmm. right? I have a pregnant wife at home.
Yeah.
We were moving into a new home. I yes. said, because originally, remember, we all planned to go to Tampa.
Originally,
when it
yes.
was on the calendar, we yes. were like, hey, let's take the whole week. We'll rent an RV.
Yeah.
We'll take your brother.
Yes.
And we'll all drive to Tampa.
Yeah.
And make it a vacation.
Yeah.
So that
and then
was
things really flared up and we all kind of decided it was a bad idea. No one was really
so
comfortable with it.
So me and you collectively decided, hey, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Right? You should not come.
Yeah. And we're moving to be in an RV and gone that long just didn't make
right.
sense.
Right. So.
A flight in and a flight out.
Instead of driving.
Yes.
I left Thursday. Latest flight I could find.
Yes.
So that I could still give my wife and kid a kiss. Mm-hmm. Latest flight I could find. And then I came home Sunday morning on the absolute earliest flight I could find. Which means I had 3 shows on Saturday night.
Yeah.
I didn't get off stage until 12:30. By the time we wrapped up at the club, by the time I got paid, I didn't walk out of there until 1:30, almost 2. And I had to be get up and go to the airport at 4 a.m.
Yes.
To
oh,
come home.
Oh, yeah. And that's just you throwing salt on the wound. Then you're like, because his flight from Dallas to Austin got canceled, right? So you had to stay in the airport an extra, what, hour or two in Dallas?
2 hours or something.
An extra 2 hours in Dallas, not quite. And you call me up and you're like, see, babe, we all have our crosses to bear. We all have our own responsibilities.
Bro,
do
Sunday.
Do you know what I would give to be sitting in an airport for 2 hours with headphones on or reading a
I'll
book
drive
undisturbed
you to Austin Airport
in peace
right
and
now.
Quiet? Like, just
I'll drive
2 hours
you to Austin Airport right
and
now
quiet.
And let you sit at the airport. Which, by the way.
Stock me up with magazines. I'll do it.
Two hours of uninterrupted. I slept 2 whole hours so that I could be home.
But the way you say it, oh, babe, we all have our cross to bear.
Yes,
like,
because...
I feel so sorry for you that you had to sit in Austin Airport for Dallas Airport.
Because I think that a lesser man or a lesser human would be like, screw my family. I'm not gonna sleep 2 hours. I'm gonna get the noon flight so that I'm comfortable, so that I can sleep, so that I can have my alone time. I don't do that ever.
Yes, that's true.
Ever.
I try and get back to us as soon as possible.
I want to get back to my family as soon as humanly possible, which, by the way, because I practice self-hypnosis and I only slept 2 hours, when I got home, do I complain? Am I tired?
No.
Am I lethargic? Or am I playing with my son?
We all laid on the couch and watched a movie.
We watched a movie. I barbecued.
Yes, you did.
I got the grill going. I cooked it up, guy. Not a word out of my mouth about how tired I was or, hey, leave me alone. You guys know I make the money and I travel. Like that, you know what I mean? I'm not that guy. So my question to you and all you people out there, if your spouse travels, why are you mad? Because, which by the way, I'm at Troy and Carrie's house and...
Normally I don't really care. It was just a lot.
You feel
it
bad
was
now?
No.
You feel bad now?
No, I don't feel bad. You don't feel bad that you didn't tell me about Windstar Casino.
Let's go. Okay. Let's go to Windstar Casino.
Okay.
Now we're going a week back.
No, here we're trying to be safe about the Rona. No, I don't think you should go to Florida. And then you're walking into a germ-infested casino. How does that make any sense?
Okay, we get to Dallas. You know Topher.
Yes.
Right? So Toph comes, old-time friend from Dallas. He always meets us in Vegas.
Yes.
You know how I love to play craps.
Yes.
I love it.
I do.
I love, which is going to lead to the next conversation. So,
okay.
I love to play craps. Thursday, Topher comes to the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, dude.
You're about to throw him under the bus, aren't you?
Well, he's single. Topher's single. He's got nobody to answer to. So, Topher comes in. He's like, hey, we're going to Windstar tonight. And I go, nah, it's too far. He goes, no, it's 45 minutes from here. I'm like, you want to go? He's like, yeah, we should go. And I'm like, do they have craps? He's like, yeah, they have craps. We should go. I go, let's go. So that was after the show, number one. Number two, I'm not going to call you at 10:30 at night because I know you're asleep, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And go, hey, I'm going to the casino.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we've always talked about this, right? Where I'm an adult. You're an adult.
Sure.
I trust your decisions.
Absolutely.
Which was my decision.
Absolutely.
So I went to Windstar. On the way there, I'm like, wait a minute. I get offers from them for free rooms all the time. Let's get the free room.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Got the free room. Got there. I used my card that you look at our accounts. I don't look at the accounts. You have access to our bank accounts to go to the ATM. So, fellas, if I wanted to hide going to Windstar Casino from my wife, I would have asked, the comedy club would have given me $1,000.
I don't think you intentionally were trying to hide it at all.
I have nothing
Not at all.
Which, by the way, we've always talked about that. Like, I don't ever want to be the guy that hides.
That feels the need to intentionally
hide
it.
Yeah, I don't want to feel the need to hide
from
my wife.
You don't need to
and
hide it.
And I think that's part of our success as a relationship, that we don't hide things from each other.
No.
We don't feel
the need.
Which
is why it just felt so freaking weird that you wouldn't have just said, I went to a casino.
Well, if I would have won $3,000, I would have been like, yeah, woo! Hey, by the way, I went to the casino last night and we won some money. But it was a miserable experience. And most of the time, I love Windstar. It's a great casino. If there's any casino within 200 miles of us that feels like Vegas, it's Windstar.
Yeah.
But because of all the restrictions, I couldn't get on a craps table. I couldn't get a drink. It was almost impossible to spend to lose the money that I wanted to lose. And it was a bust. And we went to bed. And it was one of those things where it's like, why did I even...
But even the next morning, like, I talked to you and you weren't like, oh, hey, the guys and I stayed at the casino last night. We're driving back to Dallas this morning, or we're going to stop and have brunch or whatever.
Well, because nothing funny happened. Nothing weird happened. It was just kind of a nothing experience.
But it was two things.
Because if something funny would have happened, you know, I would have been like, oh my God. Right? Oh, babe, you gotta hear what happened last night. You know, there was nothing happened.
But it was two things.
Which, by the way,
it was one that you didn't tell me, and it was two that we're trying to be so careful.
When I had a friend take a dump in the refrigerator in the hotel. Dude, I had a drunk friend. He was so drunk. He pooped in the refrigerator. It's 4 in the morning. I'm calling Renee. Babe! And she's like, why are you, what happened? What's going on?
I answered the phone because I think you're probably in jail and need bail money or something when you call it that hour.
But she's my best friend. And if I want to, you know, I got to tell her, oh my God. And we both know this friend. So I'm like, you're not going to, I'm like, dude. And I'm sending her pictures of it. I'm like, check it out. Right?
There's literally turds in a refrigerator in the picture.
In the crisper. It landed on the crisper, which was hilarious. So, I, you know, you're my best friend. If something funny would have happened, if something interesting would have happened, if something worth talking about would have happened, of course I'm going to bring it up. But so, but if I wanted...
All I'm saying is it felt a little...
I know you're in my email.
It was like subconsciously you didn't want to tell your wife that you had gone to a casino, so you just were going to like let it glide.
No,
you just weren't gonna
I
say
don't,
anything.
You know that. I don't care. We went to a casino several weeks ago, and I was like, hey, I'm going to the casino.
You told me about that when you were in Houston. You went to Louisiana and went to the casino.
Which
you
was 2.5 hours away. Which was 2.5 hours away. So I don't have a problem. Like, I'm not doing anything wrong.
But, and I was also frustrated that I felt like, because I'm pregnant, we're trying to be very careful about where we're going and the germs we're contracting. And that's why I didn't go with you to Tampa. So then to know that the week before, just went into a casino.
I'm wearing my mask.
Was really annoying.
I'm wearing my mask. You know, you gave me the little can of Lysol. I'm spraying things down. Like, I'm on it. But again, it was one of those things where I'm like, why did I even come? Like, this is a bust. It was a waste of my time. I lost, you know, money, and it wasn't even fun. I don't care if I lose money and it's fun.
Right. And then we're, like, buying new furniture and things for the house, and you're like, okay, like, this is the budget for this. But then you're going and blowing money at the craps table at the casino.
I'm not giving her a $500 budget for stools. It's way more than that. Right? So you know.
No, but regardless, the fact that you're like, this is for our home, right? Things that we are going to use on a daily basis, a part of our family life. But then you're just going and blowing money at gambling.
Okay,
when that could be money we're spending on the house.
That leads to the next topic of conversation, which was the question of...
Someone did. We got a comment asking about finances, money and marriage, and if there was a... purely Captain Evil bank account and how we divvy it up.
All of it is Captain Evil bank account. Because
what's yours is mine and what's mine is mine.
Yes. But I don't care about money. I don't care about money. I don't need money. I just work. And what I don't even look, I've never, and I think this is part of my success at least, is I never did stand up for the money. Anybody offered me a gig, I took it.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't matter how much the money was. And to this day, I don't look at my checks. They write me the check at the end of the week. They hand it to me. I put it in my pocket and I leave. And if it's wrong, that's up to my agents and managers to deal with the clubs. And I don't go, well, how much money did I make and how many tickets did I sell? I take the check. I put it in my pocket. And sometimes they're like, here's the settlement, which has like all the ticket sales and everything. And I'm like, no, keep that. Send that to my manager agent. I don't care about money. And Renee and I share everything. We are on every account. Everything is, I don't even look at the accounts. Renee does. She
Unless
handles,
there's a secret gambling account I don't know about.
Oh, I wish. but we spend money very differently.
We do.
I like to have fun. I spend my money on experiences. I like nice dinners. I will drop $200 for me and you to have a nice steak dinner.
Right.
But I won't buy a tank top. That's just how I spend my money on, I like to go gamble. And I could care less if I want or not. I enjoy playing craps.
Yeah.
But I think that's why I'm lucky.
You are stupidly lucky at gambling.
Because I think that when people go in to gamble and they're like, I have to win. I'm here to win. And, oh, crap, I've already lost $300. Like, you're done.
Yeah.
I go in there and I'm like, hey, man, I'm here to have a good time. I want to have drinks. I'm happy if I'm losing. I'm happy if I'm winning. I'm having a blast. And I think because of that, I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
And I think I've been lucky with money because I have that attitude. And Renee's very budget. You know, I'll spend $500 at Windstar Casino gambling.
Yeah.
And Renee wants, you know, she always sees it like, that's a pair of shoes. That's a purse.
Especially in Vegas when the shopping is so good and I see all those chips on the table that are just going to get scooped up and go back to the dealer.
And Renee, but sometimes they come back to daddy. right? How about when daddy
yes,
last time
they
in Vegas?
Rarely come back to mommy.
It's all yours. It's all yours. But I, you know, like I, we talk about this all the time too, where I forget when we were setting up our corporation, at that time, the tax guy was like, are you sure you want to make your wife 50% partners? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you guys are going to be 50-50? And I'm like, yes. I don't care about money. I don't care. And I think you deserve that. You sacrifice. I'm on the road. When we had our one-bedroom apartment, you were sacrificing while I was out there hustling and working hard. You have been instrumental in helping me go, hey, do more of this in your act. Or so we've suffered together. So, of course, you deserve 50%. And if this doesn't ever work out, you are part of this business and this company.
Oh,
and
I've already said you can get a new wife, but I'm still working for the company. She's just going
She already said. She's like, I'm still here for like.
I'm pot committed. Like.
But, you know, I also feel like the monies that we sacrificed and made together, you deserve.
Yeah.
However, after the divorce, every dollar I make after that.
You just said after the divorce, it's coming. That woman who made that comment is like, see, I told you.
No, but I think for us, and I'm saying for us. And yeah. I don't know how other, and I do
well,
know.
Our situation is very different than a lot of couples. I mean, I think a lot of people now get married later than life and they already come to the table with stuff. And you and I didn't come to the table with anything.
But I think for us, and I think that part of the reason that we are a successful relationship is because we're very open and we share everything, you know? And I know that some couples are like, you pay half the rent, I pay half the rent. You make your money, I make my money. You pay half the rent, you pay half the electric bill. You know, you have your account, I have my account.
Yeah.
You spend your money, I spend my money. We don't do that at all. It's all our money. It's all, you know, you have access to all the accounts. I don't hide anything. There's no, we're very open with, we're very, you know, you have access to my email. You have access to all my social media, you know, and I think because we are open, because we trust each other, and because I've never hidden my past from you either.
Yeah.
You know who and what I was before us. And I think that has made our relationship and our business successful.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, but it's interesting because it was never a, like when someone poses a question like that, it was never a question amongst us. Like, I don't ever remember us saying, making that conscientious decision. It was like I said, we just didn't have anything. So it was just like, how are we going to make this work? I made this, you know, I brought home this paycheck.
But I also think that I kind of forced us into that because when you moved to LA and we decided to move in together.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of those things where it's like, you know, and I mean this by no offense, at that time, you were not making money at all.
No, but at that time, my folks were helping me when I first moved to LA. And then once we decided we were going to move in together, then that was it. No more help from my folks.
Right, where I said, that's it.
We had to figure it out.
That's it. We're going to figure it out together. Yeah. And in that situation, at that time, I was making most of the money. And I was saying, no, look, I'm going to pay.
Yeah.
So I immediately made the decision to share with you.
Yes, you did.
And to go, hey, we're going to do this on our own, together, with zero help.
Yeah.
And this is how we're going to go at it. And then, you know, a lot of people don't know that, you know, you were pursuing your acting career. You were trying to make it happen. You were trying to do your thing. And because of things that maybe we'll talk at another episode, you know, that wasn't... So we ended up having to work together.
Yeah.
You know, and because you are talented and because you're beautiful and smart and I wanted you to have a career... We wanted you to have a career. So then all of a sudden it was, hey, there are no Mexican-American female producers, directors. You're going to direct. We're doing this relatable special for Netflix on our own. You're gonna direct. Till Death came around. Renee's going to direct.
Yeah.
Renee's going to produce. Renee's going to be part of it. And we started to really become a team.
A team, yeah.
You know? And then we moved to Texas, and you get the commercial. Because, by the way, I don't know if we've talked about this.
You did.
Yes, that is her in the commercial. And then, you know, recently, Renee and I have been talking about how do we create a Captain Evil brand, and how do we make you a star on your own. So one of the things that we're going to do, because we get hit up all the time about, oh, I love Renee's fashion. I love Renee's, you know, sense of design. And by the way, this is, Renee doesn't dress up for the podcast. This is every day. The woman, my wife is not the yoga pants, tennis shoes, and a t-shirt wife. This is her. She wakes up today, she's in the dress, you know, it's a whole thing.
I was in my sausage casing this morning.
You're not going to let it go. It hurt. That one hurt you a little bit. It came back. We're an hour in and it came back.
Who calls a pregnant woman fat?
I don't call you fat. You're beautiful and you're glowing and I love that you're preggers. And I think that very soon we need to let people know what's inside your belly.
Yeah.
Very soon. But so if there's, you know, we're looking for that person that would like to get on board with the Captain Evil brand and help you. So now we have to, now we're going to start moving our focus to trying to find somebody to help you. So yep. the baby room.
Yes.
Talk about that.
We've got a blank canvas in this house.
And me, you.
Well, yeah, really me. I pretend to include Steve.
She bought like this buffet that goes behind the sofa. And she's like, what do you think? And I'm like, I really, like, you don't understand.
Like, do you like it?
Yeah, I'm like, you don't understand. I don't give a shit. Like, so talk about the room.
Yeah, so I have a blank canvas for this baby room, and I got to figure out what I want to do with it. The only thing is we decided that we still have Garrett's crib, so we're going to use that. But other than that, we're starting in, like, it's exciting. We've got a brand new house that we're, brand new to us, house that we're starting in, and a whole new room, so.
And I think that you should take people through your Instagram or your Facebook or YouTube or whatever, yeah, through the journey of what you plan to do.
What we plan to do. I don't even know yet because I've been focused on getting into the house.
What we're going to do is your budget is the same budget I have for casinos.
Oh, so that's right now, why we're talking about
bucks.
This.
It's 500
that's
bucks.
That's why we're talking
you have
about
500
this.
Bucks to
no,
figure
no,
this out.
No,
no, you know I'm kidding. So I hope that you guys are interested enough to follow Renee on her journey to make this room.
Yeah. I'll put you to work. I can't paint. I can't breathe the fumes.
More paint.
Yeah,
more
you gotta do the painting. I can't do the painting.
More paint on the shirts. Very good episode. I would like to take this time to tell people that my mom is, Miss Dora, is so happy.
Some people ordered some eyelashes.
Some people ordered eyelashes.
I think it's Foxy Lady Eyes by Dora.
Something like that. But
or sexy eyes. I'm going to mess it up.
Dora Pena on Facebook. She's our sponsor. She's loving it. She's absolutely loving it. And I would like to thank Dr. Z, Dr. Shaw at Green Med Spa in New Braunfels, Texas. Thank you so much for helping my mom look younger. She loved it.
Zhuzhing mom up.
She loved it. And if you ladies want to look younger, our men, Green Med Spa, Dr. Shaw.
You're calling me fat. You're calling the audience ugly and old. Come on.
And I also realized that you know, we have this platform and you know how much I care about our veterans. So I just want to do a shout out to the men and women who serve our country. Thank you so much. And for those of you that don't know, the organization that I'm involved in is Helicopters for Heroes, helicoptersforheroes.com. If you want to sponsor that event, you want to be a part of that event, please go to helicoptersforheroes.com. And this is our episode. And it was a shit show. But it was good.
A good shit show?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I do like when people call and they go, like, watching you guys is like marriage therapy.
For how not to communicate?
Yeah. But it was fun. And it was good.
Always fun. Always fun.
So until next time, please. Oh, tell everybody to like. You're good at that.
What?
To like and share.
Oh, yes. Please. Like and share the podcast. It's really cool. People are sharing it a lot. And then also, we're getting people who haven't necessarily seen your stand-up, and I feel like people should know if you go to stevetrevino.com.
So why did I tell you that? Why, like, Rick, I told her that, and now she's like, oh, well, they're all watching the podcast now. So in Tampa, we had people come up to me and or send me a message and say, we actually came because of the podcast. We thought you and your wife were going to be on stage arguing. That's what they thought.
No, no, no. But I think, like, I think you are so freaking talented and so funny. And I think people don't realize your stand-up and what you do there is completely different than this that you and I are doing here, which is very silly. And what you do on stage is such a talent.
I think we're going to find people that go, look, we just like the podcast. Or you're going to find people that are going to say, we like the podcast and the stand-up. And then you're going to find people that go, look, I just like the stand-up. Renee's horrible.
I was trying to comment. All I was trying to say is go to stevetrevino.com and they can see your dates there.
Yes.
Because those are constantly changing in light of current events.
Because I don't care what anybody says, laughter is essential.
For sure.
So, till next time, this is the Steve and Captain Evil podcast. We love you guys. Thank you.